Welcome to the Ted Brower Show, and yes, it's that day, it's that night. We're going to be talking about Morgellons, we're going to be talking about HARP, chemtrails, Bernard Eastland's patents, smart dust, all of it. I'm going to do the best I can to get through it in an hour. I did this same show similar to that, but not near as much. I did a show that's going to be like this, but I did it back in December with Doug Hagman. You can listen to it, I think it was the 18th or the 19th of the month of 2015, and you can pull it up on its archives. And we also talk about some other stuff that I'm not going to cover tonight, but I'm going to go into more details on the patents with Eastland and how they developed the HARP weapon is what it is, and you know, also atmospheric heater. So we're going to have some fun stuff with this tonight. We're going to cover a lot of information. And I just want to share with you real quick about Morgellons. This is really a part of the smart dust program they have with the CIA. Some of the stuff's going to be involved with the military usage. The other stuff's going to be with the intelligence usage. These are self-replicating hollow fibers that are based on a fungus. They're like a micro-insect fungicide. They eat other insects, and they steal the DNA from those insects. So this Morgellons stuff is some pretty negative stuff. I really did the best I could to get through this information and study it. And I read another entire book that I'll be quoting from tonight and doing a review on. I want to get her on as a guest also. So I'll contact the publisher, Farrell House, to bring her on as a guest. But in the meantime, I want to give her the information. I want to let you know that some of this information is coming from her, that I have other references, a lot of stuff. The name of the book is Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth by Elena Freeland, by Farrell House. You can get that online. I'm not selling the book. I'm not getting any money from the book. I'm quoting her as a reference to the book because I think this book is that good. And I think all of you guys need to get it. And so I'll be doing some block quotes of her. I'll also be quoting some of her references. So we've got a lot of information about what's going on with the internet technology revolution and what's happening with it. So I'm going to take my time tonight. I'm not all geeked up here tonight, so I want to make sure that I go as slow as I can to try to explain some of this really, really technical stuff. I did a lot of the same explanations on the show with Hagman, so I'm going to start with new material first. And if I have a chance to go over the old material, I will. But in the meantime, I want to start with Freeland's book. And I want to read you a couple quotes. Here's one of the first quotes. It says, "The worldwide IT revolution is synonymous with a C4, which means command, control, communications, computers, weapons system. Thanks to superb worldwide sensor suites and precision strike capabilities, it's tele-everything. Telecommunications, computing, and sensors that are silicon, molecular, quantum, bio, optical, soon to move humans into artificial intelligences and automatic robots in the large, immersive, multi-sensory, virtual reality, holodecks, and multi-physics, hyper-sectional sensors in land, sea, air, and space. By circa 2025, robots will be the norm, with binary bios in the agricultural and food distribution systems, with nanosensors, munitions, swarm horde weapons, braving a new virtual world's peace tactical wireless smart grid cloud. Such is the transitional condition of the 67th year of the American National Security State, which started in 1947. The HARP is a phased array antenna field that was first built. We have multiples of these now, by the way. I'll be giving you their locations in a few minutes. And the one we're talking about right now is the one up in Alaska. It is a phased array system that allows them to lay radio waves on top of radio waves, which cancel each other out, forming longitudinal waves. These longitudinal waves are then laid on top of each other. That allows them to produce scalar waves, and also scalar weapons. I'm going to go into detail on how this works in a little bit. This is all Tesla technology, all of it. This is his death ray. This is what he talked about in 1940, and he died in 43. This is what he said that he could destroy anything with, anywhere with, okay? And I got a feeling he probably could have done that. The HARP is being used to increase energy in the lower atmosphere. It's drawing energy to the stratosphere because they want to produce more energy so they can make this HARP device more efficient. Also, they want to make their sea-based radar domes, the SBXs, you can look these up on Google, more efficient. Their NEXRADs, which are their Doppler radars, there's 160 of them. Nobody knows how many SBX radar domes there are. These are huge, huge ships. They're like giant oil platform rigs. They can pull anywhere they want. They're not anchored. But also, we have Gwen towers. We know there's still 300 of those. I don't know how many are still in operational. Plus, we have cell towers that are just, there's tens of thousands of those globally. Plus, the additional HARPS systems that we have throughout the world and throughout the planet now. These chemtrails are being used for conductive metals, for these power stations and these Doppler radars and these phased array antenna to be able to heat up the ionosphere. We'll talk about that in just a minute in detail. And they needed to increase the energy in the lower atmosphere. And by doing the heating, they have to have metallic ions put into the atmosphere to heat it and also to reflect back off of it. And they can heat it up to 10,000 degrees within a matter of a few seconds with these phased array machines. The chemtrails are forcing us, along with the HARP, to breathe an ionized atmosphere. Heavy metals being used are aluminum, barium, strontium, lithium, sulfur. There's all kinds of metals. We'll cover them in a few minutes. There'll be additional ones. Secondly, they're using polymers, mylar filaments, spider webs that look like spider webs, and they're piggybacking more gelins on top of these, which are the fungus spores. And these are trough domain bacteria. They basically are using plant and animal and bacterium to form almost an insect-looking organism, a life form that they've developed, that they've pretty much taken God's work that God did, and they've tied it all together. Because remember, God is the only being on the, in the universe that can create life. These guys don't know how to do that, but they can take what God did, all these different life that are out here, and they can tie it all back together using their technology with gene splicing and all the stuff they have with the frequency to change these things. This is what happened in Genesis chapter 6. They ended up, if you read Genesis chapter 6, it says that every thought of every man was evil all of the time, and that the fallen angels had come down, and they were actually doing genetic testing and creating giants and having sex with the women on this planet, and they're creating all these other subspecies. Again, they can't do it on their own. They have to take what God did and they have to turn it upside down, which is one of the goals of Sabbatane Levy from the 1600s. This is being done globally. The jet stream is carrying it. We are eating food that has been contaminated with this Morgellons smart dust, this fiber, these piezoelectric crystals. You combine this with the wireless world, you know, we are basically being used as human transmitters. This stuff's being put into us, being tied into our DNA, being tied into our central nervous systems, and it's being activated by wireless technology, smartphone applications, smart meters, and we become enhanced humans whether we want it to be or not. So we've been chipped. I don't believe this is the mark of the beast at all, because we didn't take this thing willingly. It was forced upon us, and so we're going to go into more and more detailed of exactly what's happening. We know that our soldiers now, and the soldier advanced technology with the soldiers programs and the super soldiers, that's going full speed because we've gotten so far behind Russia and China that our war secretaries are actually stressing out because they want to make sure that they can keep up as far as the technology that's available to them right now. So let me go ahead and go back to her book. And I've got like six different reference sheets here in front of me, so I'm going to have to kind of go back and forth between them. So guys, just stay with me for a minute. I don't want to make this some kind of super fast thing tonight because it's too complicated. But right quick, this show tonight is brought to you by HealthMasters.com, HealthMasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. And you know my show, I don't do a bunch of infomercials about HealthMasters. HealthMasters pays for the broadcast. You know, that's why we appreciate your support. We manufacture the highest quality nutraceutical supplements in the world, and they work. So if you're going to buy vitamins, get them from us. Thank you for your support. I appreciate you guys. All right, let's go back to the book again. This is, again, the book, Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth by Lena Freeman. The wartime secrecy of World War II and the Manhattan Project was continued as the Cold War with the passage of the National Security Act of 1947 and conversion of the Wartime Office of Strategic Services into the CIA. This happened in 1947. Now, I'm interjecting this. I believe it happened in 1947 because of Roswell. Now, you know, you can believe what you want to believe about this, but I talked to Chuck Missler about this, one of the top Bible theologians in the world, and I asked him about spaceships. And he believes that they were angels and demons. And he told me, and I asked him, I said, well, why do they need a spaceship to get around in? And he said, why do we think we can tell them what they're supposed to travel in? And I thought, well, that's true. I guess I've never really thought about it that way. These are interdimensional beings. They can come and go through the cosmos, I guess, through their wormholes and the other things they do with the quantum mechanics that we talked about before. But this is all CIA stuff. Now remember, in 1947, this is when the OSS was turned into the CIA, right after the Roswell and during all that period. And after that, we had this huge thing that everybody got really scared of flying saucers, and the government came out and said that they had captured this flying saucer that had crashed. They said it was in the newspapers, and of course they realized what they had done, and they basically retracted the story because they didn't want the people on the planet to realize that there was a power that was much greater as far as technological advancement than the United States military at that time. Remember, we had just taken the jet technology from the Germans, who had used their viril maidens to develop a lot of their technology by contacting these interdimensional beings. And this is all just part of the research that we've done over the years. Most of you know that who've listened to my show. Also, Paul McGuire talks about this in depth too. In 1951, the Inventions Secrecy Act was added to conceal technological inventions and shift the patent system from open source to controlled by the new national security state. To this day, every electromagnetic technology that can be weaponized ends up under a shroud of national security. This has been going on since 1947. Our media was blacked out in 1947 as far as telling us the truth. It just stopped. And so now we have to go through alternative news channels like this one to try to find out what's going on. U.S. science advisor John Holdren insists that releasing particulates of barium, magnesium, aluminum, nanofibers, mold, and bacillus blood spores is a great idea. This is a reference by Susan Postel, How Government Uses Geoengineering Experiments Without Telling You, Occupy Corporatism, June 17, 2013. I'm going to give you as many references as I can so you can look this stuff up yourself. But a global extension of, after all, what are chemtrails but a global extension of biological and chemical warfare field experiments that have been going on for decades? We find ourselves in an upside-down world. Remember what Sabatain said. He said this satanic group is controlling this, and he said that he wanted to turn the entire planet upside down, and whatever was good, and the Bible says it's going to happen too. Whatever is good is going to be bad. Whatever is bad is going to be good. I don't have the book, chapter, and verse for you. I know it. I don't have it written down, so I'm not going to stop a live show to try to find it for you. The prominent German newspaper, Sudden-Zeitung, reports that individuals and groups opposed to the genetically modified organism GMOs and the glyphosate, the Roundup, and Monsanto's Roundup herbicide have been threatened, hacked, slandered, and terrorized. I'll go a step further. A lot of the biochemists and the molecular biologists who have worked on a lot of these projects have wound up dead. Now, whether or not they were killed, I have no idea, but they sure had a lot of weird suicidal behavior. So I don't know what's going on with all that, too. It's kind of like a lot of the natural doctors were dying last summer. But, of course, we know now that their research was not interlocked. In 1886, let me give you some timeline. This is from Angels Don't Play the Harp by Bekacek. In 1886, Nikola Tesla invents a system of alternating current. We know that he did that. Nikola Tesla and Edison were competing against each other. In 1900, Tesla applies for the patent on the device to transmit electrical energy through the natural mediums. In 1924, confirmation that radio waves bounce off the ionosphere, electrically charged layer, starting at an altitude of 50 kilometers. I'm giving you all of this detail because a lot of you are going to tell people to listen to this show who are looking up in the sky and not believing these are chemtrails or geoengineering, whatever you want to call it. I don't care what you call it. And they're not going to believe this stuff is even possible and how we do it. I'm giving you the background line of it right now. In 1945, we had the atomic bomb test begin. We have 40,000 electromagnetic pulses to follow. In 1958, the Van Allen radiation belt was discovered. We had zones of charged particles trapped in the Earth's magnetic field 2,000 miles up, and it was violently disrupted in the same year. I'll tell you how. And it was by Project Argus, ARGUS. You can look it up. 1958, the U.S. Navy exploded 3 nuclear bombs in the Van Allen belt, permanently changed the Van Allen belt. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, we have we're losing our protective ozone layer. A lot of this was caused from detonating nuclear weapons in the ionosphere. I mean, I don't know what Bobo decided they wanted to do that, but that's what they did. This whole thing's crazy. In 1958, the White House advisor on weather modification says the Defense Department is studying ways to manipulate changes, charges of earth and sky, and so affect the weather. 1961, scientists propose artificial ion cloud experiments, beginning of dumping chemicals, barium powder, from satellite rockets. This is 1961, guys. This is 55, almost 60 years ago. 1961 to 62, the Soviets and the USA blast many EMPs in the atmosphere. 300 megatons of nuclear devices deplete the ozone layer by 4%. That's a lot, by the way. 1968, Moscow scientist tells the West that Soviets have pinpointed which pulse magnetic field frequencies help mental and physiological functions and which do harm. They actually know exactly what frequency all the way back in 1968. It's funny, I got a letter in that said that I can't talk about frequencies or radio waves because it's new age. I don't know how to talk about physics without talking about frequencies. I don't even know. It's just somebody just doesn't have a good education. This stuff has been around for a long, long time, and it has nothing to do with the New Age movement. In 1972, the first reports on ionosphere heater experiments with high-frequency radio waves at Puerto Rico, a 100-megawatt heater in Tromsø, Norway, built later in the decade, can change conductivity of the auroral ionosphere. This is 72 now. This is like 50 years ago. In 1974, high-frequency experiments at Plattsville, Colorado, New Wales, heat the bottom side of the ionosphere. 1975, Stanford professor Heilwell reports that the VLF, very low frequencies from power lines, are altering the ionosphere. 1975, U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson forces the Navy to release research showing that ELF transmissions can alter human blood chemistry. In other words, it's bad for you. That's why they always tell you not to live by power lines. 1975, Pell Senate Committee urges that weather and climate modification work should be overseen by civilian agency answerable to the U.S. Congress. That never happened. It stayed within the CIA. 1975, Soviets began pulsing woodpecker elf waves at key brainwave rhythms. Eugene, Oregon, one of the locations where people were particularly affected. They actually wanted to change the way we think in the United States. That's why they did this. I'm going to go into more detail on that in a few minutes. In 1976, this again is from the book, Angels Don't Play That Harp. Susan Bowen and W. Ross Adney showed nerve cells are affected by magnetic fields and radio fields. This is way back when they started doing microwave ovens. 1985, Bernard Eastland, this is super important, guys. This is 30 years ago. Bernard Eastland applies for a patent method and apparatus of altering a region of the Earth's atmosphere, ionosphere, and the magnetosphere. These are first of three Eastland's patents assigned to Arco Power Technologies. That was huge. We're going to go into some of these patents and what they mean tonight, too. 1986, the U.S. Navy Project Henhouse duplicates Dr. Jose Delgado Madrid experiments. Very low-level, very low-frequency pulsed magnetic field harm chick embryos. Again, we know that these things harm things. And if you take some seeds and you try to sprout them beside your wireless router in your house, they won't sprout. It disrupts life. 1980, in the latter part of the decade, the U.S. begins a network of ground wave emergency network, GWEN towers, each to generate very low frequency waves for defense purposes. 1994, 22 years ago, military contractor E-Systems by API, holder of Eastland patents and contracts to build the biggest ionosphere heater in the world, nicknamed HARP. This is the one in Alaska. 1994, Congress freezes funding on HARP until planners increase the emphasis on Earth-penetrating tomography uses for nuclear counterproliferation efforts. This is over-the-horizon radar using scalar waves. 1995, HARP planners to test the patent, $5,441,834 in September. 1994, testing at first stage of HARP equipment continues despite frozen funding. Then it goes on to tell us that the protective Van Allen belts discovered in 1958 by Explorer 1 begin at about 7,700 kilometers and extend to 51,000 kilometers like a net. These belts capture charged particles from solar and galactic winds and spiral them gently down along the magnetic lines of force that comprise the magnetosphere surrounding the Earth until they converge at the poles to spin the Arctic and Antarctic auroras. The sun's radiation creates and maintains both the ionosphere and the plasma in the magnetosphere. In her book, Planet Earth, The Latest Weapon of War, Dr. Bertel defines and discusses plasma in the context of weapons, communication systems, and space shields. Throughout the 1950s and 60s, more than 300 megatons, again I mentioned this already, were exploded in the atmosphere, charged in radioactive particles, 40,000 electromagnetic pulses from 49 to 57, strontium-90 is now all over the planet. When the Saturn V rocket malfunctioned in 1975 and it burned a large hole in the ionosphere that prevented all telecommunications over a large area of the Atlantic Ocean, interest in the ionosphere tripled. ionospheric heating experiments were conducted in Colorado, in South Wales, Australia, and Puerto Rico, because they were able to actually disrupt communications by burning a large hole in the ionosphere. They wanted to be able to figure out how to do it for military purposes. Of course, the electromagnetic age and all things heart must begin with Nikola Tesla. We've already mentioned him. The native Serbian genius allowed to die in poverty and ignominy, after which the FBI confiscated his research. In 1940, Tesla announced his death ray. In 1943, he was dead. And when he died, they went into his apartment. They took everything from him. They took his apartment and they sealed it. Some don't even believe he died naturally because he refused to give the government the research of his death ray, which is what we're talking about right now. This should not be surprising given that HARP is Tesla's magnifying transmitter, whose secret, according to Eason, lies in his steering ability and pulse transmissions. In other words, you've got to be able to lay these radio waves on top of each other and to direct them. And they have to be done in a pulse, not in a direct line, not continually firing. If you lift part of the ionosphere and you make it move, Eason said, do things like with it, like generate 1 watt of heat per cubic centimeter. You control the weather by altering upper atmosphere wind patterns. You can change molecular compositions of specific regions of the Earth's atmosphere, conduct wireless power transmission, knock out radio communications while retaining others, and create electromagnetic pulses. In other words, you can pretty much do whatever you want to do from a military standpoint. Again, this is tied together with the military and the CIA. On April 21st, Tesla wrote this letter to the New York Times about his death ray. This is the Tesla magnifying transmitter, which is what HARP is. And Tesla said, quote, when I spoke of future warfare, I meant that it should be conducted by a direct application of electrical waves without the use of aerial engines or airplanes or other implements of destruction. This is not a dream. Even now, wireless power plants could be constructed by which any region of the globe might be rendered uninhabitable. You hear what I just said? Uninhabitable without subjecting the population of other parts to serious danger of inconvenience. Okay? Now, this is going to be interesting because I want to talk about this for just a second. 70 days after this letter ran, the Tunguska River in central Siberia exploded. It was an explosion that was 1,000 times more powerful than Hiroshima. The atomic bomb took place near the Tunguska River in central Siberia, 60 degrees 55 north, 101 degrees 57 east. People and herds of the Siberian reindeer were decimated. 500,000 acres of pine woods were flattened just before the explosion. Witnesses who survived the ordeal saw a glow in the sky for miles and miles, and yet no telescope detected incoming meteors or comet debris, nor have any comets or meteors ever been found there. A lot of people, including myself, believe that Tesla's Wardenclyffe transmitter would have been capable of inducing such an explosion and more. Remember, this all happened, you know, way, way, way back in, you know, in the early 1900s in 1908. Wardenclyffe was a giant tower that he was going to use to broadcast free energy and free electricity all over the country. And he's going to build these things everywhere. And what they did, they had a grounding rod that went down several hundred feet into the earth, into the rock bed, and it tied into the energy that was being produced by the core of the planet. And it set up a frequency, and it produced tremendous amounts of power. And this would be, and this author says, and I believe this also, that Tesla's Wardenclyffe transmitter would have been capable of inducing such an explosion and more. In 1917, this is what Tesla gives it away. He says, when unavoidable, the Tesla magnifying transmitter may be used to destroy property and life. Now, you have to ask yourself, had he already tested it? Did he pick this remote area of Siberia to test it? And I don't think that he would have thought it would have done this so much damage. The reality is this. When you set up these scalar waves and you discharge them like this, and we talked about this on the show with Hagman, they pick up energy from the currents, from the ley lines, from the magnetic lines of the planet, and they can do it in such a way that they become unimaginably powerful. Tesla said that he could actually split the planet and destroy the planet if he wanted to by tying this back together in the planet and causing the frequency to go back through the planet itself. Which I believe he could, because he almost brought down a skyscraper that he was living in. But in 1975, now this is interesting. I want you guys to stay with me. This deals with the woodpecker experiment they had in Dagas. Okay, in 1975, the Soviets created their own Tesla magnifying transmitter in the Elf woodpecker grid in Daga in the Soviet Union. In 1982, Russian scientist Viktor Seletsky explained that the woodpecker was an entirely new radar technology that would one day control any place on the globe. By control, he meant brain control, given that the brain is a natural receiver. the Woodpecker Network of transmitters in Argos and Kabarkas and Siberia, Gomel, and I can't pronounce all these names, and site 60 miles south of Havana, Cuba, is capable of creating a psychotronic field or an ultra-low-frequency scalar grid above the United States. According to the nuclear engineer Thomas Bearden, Woodpecker is based on Tesla's gravitational waves of pure potential that Bearden calls non-Hertzian scalar waves. That's what I'm talking about. They can be as strong as you want them to be. These ELF waves are transmitted in pairs through the Earth and converge at predetermined latitude and longitudinal points on the Earth's surface. What is telling is that the U.S. government, this is all from Friedland's book. What is telling is that the U.S. government established Project Woodpecker in 1977 and sold the Soviets the super magnet that put the Tesla magnifying transmitter Woodpecker firmly in business. I'm going to repeat that. The U.S. government sold the Soviets the super magnet that put this thing into power. This is from Jerry Smith Harp, The Ultimate Weapon, that was written in 1998. This magnet was a 40-ton monster capable of generating a magnetic field 250,000 times more powerful than that of the Earth's magnetic field. 40-ton magnet that we sold the Soviets to set this up. Its purpose was to override, blank out, and to interfere with the Earth's natural magnetic field to permit the Soviet Woodpecker to penetrate to the United States. The United States not only knew what it was for, they set a team of United States scientists to help the Russians install it. Now, you know, here's the thing that Colonel Corso said when he wrote the book The Day After Roswell. He said that the United States and you guys need to read that book. I was reading a book called The Money Mafia by Hellyeye, the former defense prime minister of Canada, and he was talking about, you know, the Rothschild banking cartels, what he was talking about. And all of a sudden he starts talking about The Day After Roswell with Colonel Corso, has a whole chapter on there on ETs. And I thought, what the heck's a guy from Canada who's a cabinet level officer in Canada, you know, from a G7 country, why is he talking about, you know, ETs? He said then what he did is he went ahead and he got the book The Day After Roswell with Colonel Corso. And he called up several of his top generals in Canada that he knew still when he was defense secretary. And they told him that every single word in this book was true. Now, if you can't get your head around it, like I said earlier, just look at this as fallen angels or demons or whatever you want to call them. I don't care what you call them. Or you can call them ETs. Whatever you want. I don't care. But you got to understand something's going on here. There's too many people talking about it. There's too many lights in the sky that do weird things, okay? And one of the things that this stuff does, and this is crazy, I'm gonna cover this in a few minutes, it detects advanced propulsion systems from like alien spacecraft is one of the reasons that they've got so much of this powder stuff laying in the atmosphere. So that's one of the side effects of what they're doing. I'm gonna cover this all in detail in just a few minutes, so you guys just stay with me on this. This thing is so twisted and so messed up. I had to go through it, and then I had to reread it multiple times to put it together like this, and I thought to myself, this is just really, really negative stuff, because what it does, it'll start messing with your head, because nobody wants to believe that they're actually doing this kind of stuff to us. Because remember, you got the good angels, you had the bad angels. You know, you got the demons and all these other weird things that are bad things, and there's this war that's been going on in the heavenlies, according to the Bible, and a lot of theologians for millennia of time. You know, when there was this big rebellion against God. Now, God doesn't go into a whole lot of detail about all of that stuff, but, you know, we have a lot of theologians that have done that. But this war supposedly in the heavenlies that's going on in these interdimensional entities is still going on. And so there's this fight. And the Bible talks about this in detail. And so we have to be ready and willing to realize that something's going on in these other dimensions. And I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about physics now. I'm not talking about any kind of weird stuff with New Age. I'm talking about quantum mechanics and physics when I talk about dimensions. That's all I've ever talked about. It goes on to say, Eastland and HAARP. From the beginning, HAARP has been an international endeavor of the United States military, the British, Russia, Canada, Japan, Greenland, Norway, and Finland. Of course, it all began during the Cold War that set the mold for the silent international wars like the war on drugs and terrorism, which is a complete and total farce, because that's how they've basically funded all of this black ops stuff is the cocaine and the heroin, not the cocaine, but the heroin that they're bringing out of Afghanistan, and they were bringing out of the Cambodian Triangle through the CIA, through Operation Condor and Operation. Yeah, here's the next article. On April the 30th, 1991, another meeting took place at Hanscom Air Force Base, from which the 613-page PLGP Technical Memorandum Number 195 evolved, detailing how HAARP would work in resonance with other ionospheric heaters to achieve larger effects and generate ELF signals able to pass through every living being. A Blackbird team at Los Alamos National Laboratories was designated to control the satellites HAARP required. This is all public domain information I'm giving you. None of this stuff is classified. The craziest part about all of this stuff is that they're so convinced that nobody reads anything that they don't even bother to try to hide this stuff anymore. It's just absolutely ridiculous. The other one was Operation Gladio and Operation Condor, with the money kept with the drugs coming in from South America and also from Afghanistan and also from the Cambodian Triangle. Given that Alaska was perfectly situated with its near-vertical magnetic field lines that could be made to act as a global shield of charged particles, neither the non-thermal effects of the 132 high-frequency transmitters nor the chemicals released into the atmosphere in the name of experimental science, titanium, boron, barium, strontium, lithium, calcium, etc., were taken into account. In fact, violating the 1978 ENMDOD convention, the Environmental Modification Convention, by changing the chemical composition of the atmosphere and transporting plumes of particulates in the plasma-sized atmosphere mattered about as much as the grocery list. These guys, they don't care about the rules. They're doing stuff. This is all black ops, top secret stuff. Okay. HAARP differs from other ionic sphere heaters in that its phased array, as an illegal over-the-horizon phased array radar weapon able to track hundreds of objects simultaneously, is capable of tremendous focus ability due to its sequential pulse firing. That the ionosphere waveguide oscillates naturally at 8 Hz cycles per second means it is an excellent harmonic carrier of low-frequency sound waves into the alpha range of human brains. In other words, it's easy to program your brain using this thing. Because LF waves are so long, they're virtually impossible to detect. In other words, HAARP provides LFS, low-frequency waves, field strength that can simultaneously affect large geographical swaths of the population. It can be used for mind control, according to the author. It can generate extremely low frequency to contact nuclear submarines, earth-penetrating tomography. It can affect human mental functioning. It can impact human health and other biological systems. There's a lot more listed here. This is from other possibilities of HAARP technologies, missiles, etc., and it gives all the references and sources in this book. On October the 7th, 2001, less than a month after 9/11, listen to this one. This will blow your mind. On October the 2nd, 2001, less than a month after 9/11, Representative Dennis Kucinich of Ohio had the foresight to grasp the peril of this latest military program cloaked as a solar radiation management, which is the HAARP. Kucinich challenged the government, military, and environmental agencies during the first session of the 107th Congress by introducing the Space Preservation Act, H.R. 2977. And it says, quote, "To preserve the cooperative, peaceful uses of space for the benefits of all humankind by permanently prohibiting the basing of weapons in space by the United States and require the President to take action and implement a world treaty banning space weapons. To date, this is the only bill that names chemtrails as an exotic weapon system, along with particle beams, electromagnetic radiation, plasma, ELF, ULF, and mind control. Not surprising, the bill was stalled in committee on January 23, 2002, during the second session of the 107th Congress. He resubmitted the revised H.R. 3616 Space Preservation Act, and all of the mention of exotic weapons, including chemtrails, had been removed." So they know what's going on. They just don't want to talk about it because it's black ops. If we go on to, this is an email that was sent to George Knapp. He was on Coast to Coast. This is William Thomas on Coast to Coast with George Knapp, December the 20th, 2009. And he says, quote, "Bernard Eastland wrote me an email, and he said that to heat up the atmosphere with HAARP is very difficult. We go right through the atmosphere unless you put some element into the airspace that could heat, and be suggested that polymers would work well in allowing HAARP to be directed to heat certain sections of the atmosphere. And in fact, this is what we've been seeing. Cobalt-like material, polymer material all over the United States and other locations in conjunction with airplanes flying overhead emitting something out of the back of them, out of the airplanes. And this went further and said that heat generation works by adding magnetic iron oxide into the polymer. So what they're doing is they use these heavy metals up in the higher parts of the atmosphere. And when they do that, these are microparticles, they have to fall very slowly down. And that allows them to continue to modify the atmosphere, the stratosphere. The problem is every time it rains or you have a lot of wind, they have to reapply it because the earth cleanses itself from all of this filth. And so they have to continually reapply. We've had heavy rain here for the last 2 days. And both days after the rain here in Central Florida, they were up spraying us again, adding more of these layers up. Because once the atmosphere has been cleansed, the HARP doesn't work properly because it can't heat things. It's like a microwave oven. When you put metal in it, it starts sparking and arcing. You don't put metal in it. Just put a glass of water in it. It doesn't do much. But you throw metal in there, you see very quickly what it does with those radio waves. And Eastman's patent under column one description, we learned the electromagnetic radiation will be transmitted from the Earth's surface along naturally occurring divergent magnetic field lines extending through regions to be altered. These magnetic natural field lines constitute electromagnetic highways between the upper and lower atmosphere. They indicate that a highway is a two-way artificially created magnetic mirror trap. Electrons and ions can also oscillate back and forth around the magnetic field lines in helical paths. Earth's atmosphere, lower and upper, is to be transmuted into a fully ionized plasma means of heat, in particular electron cyclotron resonance. You know, here's the problem with all of this. Human beings have never been designed to breathe charged plasma. Not only that, they're putting these particulate lithiums in this air. They're putting piezoelectric crystals in this air. They're forcing us to inhale this stuff. I was so angry a couple of years ago when I was writing an article on this, and I told my wife, I said, you know, we drink distilled water. You know, we eat organic food. We don't eat GMOs. We take our own vitamins and our own supplements. We're so careful not to take prescription drugs. We very rarely even take over-the-counter drugs, even like aspirin. We very rarely ever do that. I limit my intake of caffeine to my purple sticks every day that I get up in the morning and have because I don't want to have excessive caffeine. I exercise 6 days a week. The problem is I got to breathe their stinking air. And it really just, I'm trying not to use any bad language here because I know I got a lot of Christians listening, and I'm also a Christian, so I try not to use bad language. But this really makes me angry. Last year when I was hosting the Power Hour, and I brought Dane Whittington on, which I need to bring him on the show too, and we started talking about all of this stuff. I got really, really upset on the air. I had the show for 3 hours. Joyce was, you know, recovering from her cancer. And I said to the listeners, I said, if this doesn't really make you angry, then I don't know how to get you angry. If this doesn't just make you want to go bark up a tree and start yelling at something, I said, I don't know how else to do it. I said, they're forcing us to breathe their filth. They're spraying on us. Every living thing, every tree's having to absorb this junk. Every plant's absorbing it. Everything we eat, unless it's covered, is absorbing it. I mean, everything. It's poisoning the soil. The citrus groves here in Central Florida have gotten so weak now, they've got this some kind of fungus or bacteria growing on. It's killing all the citrus off. Trees all over the country are dying. Entire forests are dying. The planet wasn't meant to use elemental aluminum. It's always tied up in a compound on the planet. 5% of the Earth's crust is aluminum, but it's in compounds. It's very difficult to mine. Huge amounts of ore have to be melted to bring the aluminum out of it. And when you take this stuff, you turn it into microdust and in smart dust, and you spray it back on us, and you add polymers to it to make it go slowly. You throw more gelins on top of all that. Then you throw in a few piezoelectric crystals, and transmitters, and force us all to ingest this. I mean, it just really ticks me off that they're doing this, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. So there has to be a bigger agenda. There has to be. So let me continue. In short, HARP and other ionospheric heaters around the globe appear to be infusing multiples of artificial 4 Hz ELF propagation into our modified atmosphere to create cyclotronic resonance that can affect biologically important ions of sodium, calcium, potassium, lithium, and lithium. And then it goes on to say, her book does, and I'm just taking little excerpts from out the book. I'm kind of doing a review on the book so you guys will go out and buy it. But to make sure the density of charged particles is sufficient, Eastland now refers more directly to what we know about the chemtrail delivery of HARP. And the chemtrails dump and pump, and it says chemtrails dump and HARP pumps. Sufficient energy is employed to cause ionization of neutral particles of oxygen, nitrogen, and particulates, which then become part of this region, thereby increasing the charged particle density of the region. This effect can be further enhanced by providing artificial particles, electrons, ions, etc., directly into the region to be affected from the, by a rocket, satellite, or the like, or to supplement the particles of naturally occurring plasma. In other words, you have to have particulate matter in the areas to heat. The study of magnetic fields and how they interact with conducting fluids like plasma is called magnetohydrodynamics, and is essential to astrophysics and atmospheric science. Huge electrical forces can be generated with giant Tesla coil transmitters, after which high-frequency power can be steered by phased array transmitters like HARP's ionosphere research instrument generators, and can transform thermal energy and kinetic energy directly into electricity. This is what HARP was going to do with the Wardenclyffe Tower. Coupled with superconducting magnets, they are capable of developing intense magnetic fields. Easton refers to mirrors or mirror points or mirror force 19 times throughout the patent. Let me tell you what these are. These are the references to the artificial ionospheric mirrors made from plasma balls that are pivotal to HARP over the horizon radar steering and targeting operation. These are the globes. I believe these are the Foo Fighters that Nazi Germany was using. I don't believe they were from an alien origin. I believe they were the Nazis doing this, and many of the people on the airplane spoke about this, and the government even talked about the Foo Fighters. And these were the plasma balls that were floating through and around the airplanes up there in space when they were bombing Europe. I believe they had a phased array antenna. I believe they were that advanced, the Nazis were, from their Beryl Maidens. And I believe that they were actually trying to create a Tesla wave or an energy wave, some type of scalar weapon to take these airplanes down. The problem is they couldn't get it targeted, or they couldn't get it focused to do it. And that's why you had the plasma rays, the plasma balls were all over the place up there, these Foo Fighters, but they didn't do anything to the aircraft because they couldn't get them to discharge. And I guess they were using them as part of their the guidance systems, or kind of like their aiming technology they use. Now let's go back on the contrails. The U.S. Air Force credibility is further undermined by the fact that the Department of Defense explicitly authorized the dissemination of misleading information in order to protect classified documents. This is Bill Sweetman of Aurora, the Pentagon's secret hypersonic spy plane of 1993. Our post-industrial, post-atomic age atmosphere is now being plasmacized. Unstable, energetic, high-velocity particles are being cycled into our atmosphere from the stratosphere and ionosphere, then activated by microwaves from military-industrial agendas, all under the guise of ameliorating climate control. I mean, this whole thing is just so bizarre that it's almost hard to deal with it from a mental standpoint, and that's why I want to be careful with you guys and not give you too much information, which I've probably already done. And then we go to that. Then we go to Project Cloverleaf and the big business of geoengineering. Geoengineering, the so-called antidote to global warming, is actually about getting more experimental chemical warfare being raised at civilian expense, this time under the Project Cloverleaf. Project Cloverleaf is a joint U.S.-Canadian military operation involving distributing chemicals into the atmosphere above Canada and the United States. Both U.S. military fueling tankers and thousands of planes in private corporate aviation are used. Military and civilian aspects of Project Cloverleaf are covert operations. In other words, they don't want you to know they're doing it. Now, the Russians were also doing this. They say they've stopped now. I don't know if they have or not. When I was in the Soviet Union back in 1998, I saw no chemtrails, but I really didn't see that many chemtrails here either in 1998, because they were just getting this whole thing started in 1995. Throughout the first decade of the 21st century, Cloverleaf was black budget, bankrolled as a covert military operation seemingly sold to the public as stratospheric aerosol engineering. It's just incredible. I'm going to speed up the pace here. I just look at my clock. I've only got 15 minutes left. In April 2013, weather modification listed 37 cloud seed operations in 17 states and 66 such operations in different countries. It goes on to say, this is another really good thing by, this is chemtrails are likely to track armies, move viruses around before it's news.com. And it says 50 aircraft, 747s around the globe day and night, 430,000 gallons in 1 month, 129 million gallons of fuel, $4 a gallon, cost $578,400,000 per month just in fuel costs alone. It's crazy how they're doing this and how much money they're spending on this stuff. And then it also says that one of the folks from the aviation, from the CIA, had come in and said they were wanting the civilian aircraft to use it, but they couldn't talk about it. Then someone asked, this is another quote, so someone asked why all the secrecy was needed, and the government reps then stated that if the general public knew that the aircraft they were flying on were releasing chemicals into the air, environmentalist groups would raise hell and demand the spraying stop. Someone asked, one of the government men, if the chemicals were harmless, why not tell the public what the chemtrails are and why we're spraying them? He seemed perturbed at this question and told us in a tone of authority that the public does not need to know what's going on, that this program is for their best interest. He also stated that we should not tell anyone or ask any more questions. I mean, it all goes back to 1947 with this stuff. It all goes back to the forming of the CIA. And then we start getting into nanoparticles and not nanotechnology. Nanoparticles are extremely small carbon molecules, often engineered with tinier than you can imagine radio-controlled gigaflop microprocessors, now called smart molecules or smart dust sensors, made from monoatomic gold particles linked to supercomputers the size of a grain of sand. Or as Brewer Science puts it, carbon nanotubes are flexible electronics that would allow high-tech devices to be attached to things that naturally bend and stretch, such as clothing, even human tissue. I mean, this is how they're saying the chemtrails are loaded with nanosensors. According to the industrial toxicologist Hildegard Staninger, PhD, when these sensors fall like bad fairy dust, they look much like iridescent glitter. In the literature, they're called MEMS, microelectrical sensors. These are the piezoelectric crystals. In GEMS, global environment, MEMS are sensors. They record everything after they're inhaled and ingested everywhere, and it can be remotely communicated with. This is why I believe they've got our TVs connected to the Internet. They've got our dishwashers connected to the Internet. They've got our cell phones connected to the Internet. They've got the Gwen Towers connected to the Internet. And all of this is tied into the artificial intelligence to be able to basically read our mood, read our frequency, and to read our DNA. And I talk about that in detail on the Hagman Show back in December. Now, the craziest part about all of this is it's being done to us so they'll know where we are at all times. In other words, they'll know you by your DNA. They'll know you because everybody has a specific frequency and they can find you. So if they want to send an autonomic robot to you to kill you, God forbid, if it goes this far, they would be able to just kind of sniff you out by your DNA because they'll already have your DNA because your broadcast Morgellons antenna has already told them what you are from a DNA standpoint. Oh, gosh. And also, this is interesting. An article in Nanotech Wire discusses how inhaling carbon nanoparticles like the ones in atmospheric aerosols have been deployed for decades to melt Arctic ice and intensify hurricanes. However, these compounds kill macrophages, the immune cells in the lungs responsible for attacking infections. Remember, I did that big show last summer on macrophages. A huge response. And we talked about some of the doctors that had died were working on NAGylase being in the bloodstream, macrophages being disabled by having their sugar molecules stripped off of them, and that there was so much NAGylase in the system that the body was going into a cytokine storm because the macrophages couldn't work and causing all these problems like encephalitic screams. Now all of a sudden we're finding out the stuff they're spraying on us is also killing macrophages. This is an all-out assault on the human immune system. All of this stuff is. And we've got to keep it strong. If you go to the website, healthmasters.com, I've got a complete immune system protocol there that we tell you exactly what to take every single day. I'm having to skip some of this stuff now because I've already covered a lot of it, and I'm running out of time. And if you're feeling like I'm feeling right now, like this is really kind of yuck, join the yuck club. They're also spraying manganese on us. So this poisoning causes psychiatric, neurological, and flu-like symptoms. Covered that last month also. In 1998, the year that chemtrails, harp, and pump and dump began to rev up, the U.S. Air Force came out with a weather as a force multiplier owning the weather, revealing to the public that the military-industrial complex looks at the weather as an instrument of asymmetric war for full-spectrum dominance. Crop failure is used to drive farmers to sell their land cheap to big agro, and devastation means profits for big contractors bought in to rebuild. Dislocated or shunted here and there by the government agencies, and their real estate disappears in the public and the private hands. And now we're going to go on to Nikola Tesla one more time. Well, I don't have time. You got to get this book, guys. I'm promoting her book again because I'm borrowing heavily on this research that I'm doing out of this tonight. And on this review that I'm doing of this book, Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth, Elena Freeland. I'm going to get her on the show if I possibly can and bring her on as a guest because she needs to discuss this stuff. But I'm giving you some of the, I'm giving you 1/100th of this book. This book is so intense. You got to read through it. I mean, I'm only reading you a few pages out of this book. This book is 250 pages long. I'm going to have to pass this. Okay. Here's a back to the flash. It says when you internally entrap electromagnetic energy in local space time is why longitude. Okay. I talked about this in detail about how it goes through interdimensional physics and goes through space time. That's why a wave, when you take two longitudes, you take two radio waves, lay them on top of each other, you create a longitudinal wave. You lay the longitudinal wave on top of each other, you create a scalar wave. Scalar wave can transmit information instantaneously with no time or space barrier. In other words, if you're 100 million light years away on Alpha Centauri and you transmit this scalar wave, it tells you instantaneously 100 million light years away what's going on. Thought waves are scalar waves. We talked about how the blood of Christ in the November show connects with our blood through scalar waves and puts this giant healing through the universe. You're gonna have to listen to the whole show on that one. That's a phenomenal show. That's an incredibly good show on the blood of Jesus in the November airing of the Hagman show. The internally trapped electromagnetic energy in local space-time is why longitudinal waves, scalar waves, interferometer standing waves can work as action at a distance. When you get flashes and fireball plasma that will come down from the surface of the Earth, you can cause enormous weather changes over entire regions by oscillating it back and forth. This is what happened with Tunguska, as far as I'm concerned. You can destroy huge sections of the planet by releasing these. That's why I don't think we're ever going to have another thermonuclear war. Why? Why do we need to have that? The technology, that technology is from the 30s, okay? That's 70, 80, almost 100-year-old technology. This technology with HARP, it is so powerful that it makes a thermonuclear warhead look like a joke. And on top of that, you don't have all this nuclear radiation released from this. It's crazy. And it goes on to say, finally, plasma balls and orbs are often seen in the midst of tornadoes if the tornadoes are being formed by NEXRADs or by these pulse rotational frequencies being caused by radar systems. I personally believe a lot of these tornadoes that are going through the middle of the United States that we've never seen before are being generated by HARP and by these different radio waves that they're using. I believe this is all technology they're testing. Then it goes on to say, finally, plasma ball or orbs are often seen in the midst of tornadoes. These orbs are not UFOs. They are plasma space weapons directed by frequencies. In the case of tornadoes, they serve as guides for storm development, like an eye in the storm. Plasma laser detected energy weapons all can be magnified by frequency to affect weather for war or wealth. You know, it just this goes on and on and on. And then it goes into the Morgellons fiber and how they're basically an insecticide. They're an insectoid. They're basically cross species. They're cross domain. They took bacteria, plant, and insects, animal, and they connected it all together to form this thing that kind of looks like a spider, supposedly. I mean, it's kind of crazy. In other words, this is a full blown immune system assault. This is interesting. This is, MK Delta, the biological warfare that got started back in the 50s and 60s, was succeeded by MK Naomi. And MK Naomi was biological warfare report run by the CIA and special operations units from the U.S. Army at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Supposedly terminated in 1970, but not added until 1977 at the MK Ultra meetings. And this is what one of these guys said. On July the 1st, 1969, official Dr. Donald MacArthur appeared before the Senate Defense Department Appropriations Subcommittee and the U.S. House of Representatives, was in the Senate's House. Dr. MacArthur told the assembled elected officials that within the next 5 to 10 years it would probably be possible to make a new effective microorganism which could differ in certain important aspects from any known disease-causing organism. Most important of these is that it might be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious disease. In other words, it would only take about 5 years to complete, and there would be no cure for it if they wanted to release it. These are our boys at Fort Detrick, what they like to do. And of course, after the biological weapons research treaty was passed, Dr. Francis Boyle talked about this a couple of years ago. All of this stuff went offshore supposedly, but we don't know what they're doing in these underground facilities. Remember, these are I think it's level 4 quarantine facilities. I mean, they could actually take the entire place and just burn it instantaneously if they have to, with all the people in it, to try to stop some of this stuff. And now there's another website you can go to. It's called Carnicorn Institute and website, Carnicorm, and it goes into detail about the different aspects of the Morgellons disease and some of the things that can be done with it. And he says again, it's being used. He lists in this that there's six different operations, and there's a seventh operation. He calls it detection of exotic propulsion systems, namely detection of what are commonly discredited as UFOs. These operations extend to and beyond fiber-based C4 plus optical switching systems. You can read the book. And he said that these are cross domain animals that they're putting in us that are also fungus. And he says, and I've got to cover this for you, they use a wine medium to grow this stuff in. Wine has a pH of 2.9 to 3.9. When your body chemistry goes acidic, this cross-domain bacteria, cross-domain species, grows like crazy. It loves acidity. In other words, you have to maintain an alkaline environment in your body chemistry. You can't eat a lot of sugar. You can't eat a lot of junk food. You got to stay away from everything that's going to make your body acidic. You can go online and you can just look up alkalizing foods. You need more of those foods. Every morning I get up and I have a protein shake. And that protein shake is fresh berries. It's a special product that we have. I mix like five different things together that's super, super alkaline. I do that every single day because it's so important to make sure your body maintains alkalinity. He says that the Morgellons filament growth passes through three phases, first white and then green and then black, and that chlorine actually makes it grow much, much faster. And again, almost everybody who's listening is drinking chlorinated water. Again, that's why we have the distillers at healthmasters.com, because it's very important that you don't put chlorine in your system because it makes this stuff grow. I mean, everything you think about this is opposite. You'd think that the chlorine would kill it, but it's not. This stuff is incredibly hard to break down. They had these all kinds of acids and boiling and everything else just to break the shells of this stuff down. So this stuff is some tough stuff, and it's all been done and been programmed, and it's all been biologically created, they said, from stem cells, and they put it all together and they grow this stuff, and it's just like a nightmare. This stuff's actually running around and all of us have been infected with it. It says Morgellon structures are being somewhere between plant and animal. Morgellon structures, like the cross-domain bacteria, do in fact cross the lines of all three domains. Also, they have budding things on them. They actually bud out like a flower does, and they start producing little babies, I guess, inside of your body. That's just something you probably didn't want to know, isn't it? And so they can actually make your body more fibrous if they start hitting it with the right waves. I'm running out of time, you can tell. A blue light makes it grow really, really, really fast. So you have to avoid certain frequencies, and you have to make sure you avoid all of these different chemicals that are making your body super acidic. In other words, stay away from alcohol. Stay away from aspartame, which contains methanol, which is also paint thinner. You've got to stay away from high-fat luncheon meats, bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, and hot dog. You have to stay away from trans fats. I use my protein shake that I have every morning. It's a phenomenal product. I use it every single day. It's amazing what it does, how good it makes you feel all day. You can be taking antioxidants, vitamin C, vitamin E, astragalus root, all the stuff that we talk about in the immune system protocol that we have on the front of the website. It's so important that you stay away from wireless as much as you can, because the wireless environment also acidifies the blood. But remember what we've done here. We've given the control of what's happening here to the government by voting them in. By doing so, we get the blame shift to say it's them. Then the government gives control to the military, to the CIA, and to these black operations. The military then gives control to the intelligence community, to the CIA, black ops. They didn't turn around and give it to the black magicians, these Luciferians. Then they turn it over to the AI. And once you turn it over to the AI, which is being run, I'm pretty much concerned, by these Luciferians and Satan, and what ends up happening, you start losing control of your own environment and your own domain here. Something else is going on. Wish I had more time to discuss it all. Some crazy stuff tonight. I apologize to you that I read a lot of it. Get a copy of this book. But now you understand why I read a lot of it, because I didn't want to try to do this all because it took so long as it was. Elena Freeland, Chemtrails, Harp, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. Go to healthmasters.com. Sign up for our newsletter and give folks this recording tonight and let you know what's going on with HARPS. Everybody knows this thing is real. HARPS real. Chemtrails real. Morgellons real. I love you guys. Be live again tomorrow. Stay tuned tomorrow at 3 to 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Stay tuned right now for Dave Hodges. He's on next. I appreciate you. We appreciate your support at Health Masters. God bless you.